This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Back porch stair. God knows how you found the heart to leave her there. And it's a hard way to learn. Hard way to learn. More on the sidewalk scene, tender-hearted girl with a smile so lean. Tell me how your bright ideal measures up to a life so real. And it's a hard way to learn. Hard. Neath a waning moon, old regrets will be fading soon. Midnight girl sits up alone, writing one last letter home. And it's a hard way to learn. Hard way. Hard way to learn. Hard way to learn.
Their third and latest album, Further West, made the top 10 on the American Folk DJ charts for 2 months and at least 14 best of the year lists. We're really happy to have Hungry Town here in our studio on the Folk Show. Thanks for coming by, Rebecca and Ken. Well,
thank you so much for having us.
We're happy to be here.
So we've got to start out with the Hungry Town story. Why Hungry Town, for one thing?
Okay, well, Hungry Town is a name of one of our songs and from our first album.
Well, it's called Hungry Town Road is the full name.
Yeah, and it's a road that we saw when we were down recording in the Blue Ridge Mountains in Virginia. We had some friends that are bluegrass musicians that live down there, and they were playing on that album. So we went down to record. And we didn't have a name for ourselves yet. We were just going under the name Rebecca Hall and Ken Anderson. And we saw this little road, Hungry Town Road, which you would think from the name that would actually lead to a place called Hungry Town. But instead, it's just kind of a dead end.
And total dead end.
Yeah. And so we started to write this song. And as you might imagine from the subject matter, the song is really more about just finding a road that takes you to a better place rather than reaching any particular destination. So,
oh, there you go. I like that. And so what about the Rebecca Hall, Ken Anderson story? How did you guys meet up? Because you recorded a couple albums solo, and then you've done the three together. How did it come to pass?
Well, I was secretly on those albums as well.
Uh-huh.
But I was just doing production and background stuff. But yeah, her first two albums were, well, first of all, we've been married for 25 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and we were living in New York City for a long time. And Rebecca at first was a lounge singer and jazz and blues singer. And I was a drummer in various rock and roll bands. And I guess over the years, well, this part's kind of sad. It's a very, very dear friend of ours, very close.
Right.
He had a terminal diagnosis of cancer. And we were very, very close. And before she died, she gave us her guitar and a bunch of folk albums. And it's a sad story. Yeah. But it, in the same time, though, there was a silver lining to it because her request was that Rebecca sing a certain song by Judy Roderick.
I Know You Rider.
I Know You Rider. Her version of I Know You Rider at her memorial. And before you know it, Rebecca started writing her own songs because she was listening to all these folk albums and... I guess something happened.
And the Harry Smith Folk Anthology was reissued on CD, and that was a big influence. So,
wasn't that interesting that you, just a short exposure to the folk genre, really contributed to your flair for writing what sounds like traditional music?
Yeah, I was in different bands just growing up, and I tried writing songs, but it never felt as natural as when I discovered all these old folk recordings from the 20s and then just started writing songs. It felt just, I don't know, it didn't seem like something that was forced. And so I just kept on doing it.
Well, we're going to travel down Hungry Town Road a little bit more with Hungry Town here on The Folk Show with another tune. What would you like to play next for us?
This is called November Song.
Through the hills as the streams do flow, that's the way she always seems to go. As autumn trees burn against the sky, so shines the color in my true love's eyes. Summer grass, it grows green and high, and bows before her when she walks by. November chill turns the fields to gold. I hate to leave her, but I'm bound to go. Jumping high, you can catch the sun. Turn the clock back when the day is done. Teach the sea to forsake the shore. Stop the young men marching on to war. Through the hills as the streams do flow, that's the way she always seems to go. As autumn trees burn against the sky, so shines the color in my true love's eyes.
So appropriate for this November day here on The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio, Hungry Town and November Song. You just got back from a big trip. Want to tell us a little bit about your most recent travels?
Yes, we've just done our longest tour ever in the UK. We go there every year, but this time we were there for 4 months.
It was called Lost in the Roundabout.
It's called the Lost in the Roundabout tour, and which has happened to us on more than one occasion.
Really serious roundabouts. I mean, you know, here in New England we have plenty, and in Mass you've got your rotaries, but they take their roundabouts really seriously. They are a way of life. And they have little tiny ones, not much bigger than a pie plate. And they have these massive ones that are like 3, 4, 5 lanes deep and with traffic lights. And I swear, they are just there to play with you.
A roundabout with traffic lights?
Yes.
Yes. They're all over the place, the major traffic lights. In some ways, you think it kind of defeats the whole purpose. But it is a highly populated country, and there's a lot of traffic. And any possible way to slow it down will be
they're
used.
They're on it.
Yep, yeah. They're on it.
How long was your UK trip?
It was 4 months.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. So, and we spent, so most of it was in England, but we spent the entire month of August in Scotland. And we got to 4 islands in Scotland. We got to, we played a show on the Isle of Hoy in Orkney. And we went to Mull and Skye, and I'm leaving something out.
Isle of Arran.
Isle of Arran. Yes.
Isle of Arran.
We're trying to have a more Scottish pronunciation.
What was your favorite part about that tour?
It's really hard to pinpoint one thing.
The Orkneys were pretty freaking amazing.
Yeah, they really were.
Pretty neat. We got to visit Scarabray.
Yeah, that was
the
amazing.
The Neolithic settlement.
Yes.
And various standing stones.
Yeah. A lot of playing. Did you pick up any tunes while you were there?
No.
No, but did.
Well, we were listening to a lot of trad, and
yeah.
We have like renewed interest now in Bert Jansch.
Yeah, we were kind
of
obsessed with Bert Jansch the entire time we were in Scotland.
I heard today's his 75th birthday.
Oh, I didn't even realize that.
So I'll need to be playing some.
I'm going to have to do a Bert Jansch post later today then.
Yeah.
Better look it up though, because, you know, my sources are my sources are on Facebook, so I'm never
quite
sure.
You never know. It might be fake news.
Accuracy, yeah.
It could be. Hungry Town visiting us here on The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to hear some more. This is NHPR.
On the next morning edition, how could an impeachment trial affect Democratic senators running for president?
We have a responsibility here.
Also, the country star Miranda Lambert stands up for her creative freedom.
Look, I don't dance around in halter tops. I don't cut pop songs. I'm going to be who I am. I'd rather not be here and waste any of our time, you know?
Stories on politics, music, and the latest news on the next morning edition from NPR News.
Morning edition weekdays from 5 to 9 with Rick Ganley here at NHPR. Tell your smart speaker to tune in to New Hampshire Public Radio every morning. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen Galleries, offering jewelry and accessories to home decor and special gifts. Learn more at nhcrafts.org. You're listening to The Folk Show here at New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Kate McNally, and I have the pleasure of having Hungry Town in our studio. Could you play another tune for us?
Absolutely.
What are you going to play?
Pastures of Plenty.
It's a mighty hard row that my poor hands have hoed. My poor feet have traveled a hot, dusty road. Out of your dust bowl and westward we rolled. Your deserts were hot and your mountains were cold. I worked in your orchards of peaches and prunes. I slept on the ground in the light of the moon. On the edge of the city you'll see us, and then we come with the dust and we go with the wind. Green pastures of plenty from dry desert ground, from the Grand Coulee Dam where the waters run down. Every state in the Union us migrants have been. We work in this fight and we fight till we win. It's always we rambled that river and I. All along your green valley I work till I die. My land I defend with my life if it be. My pastures of plenty must always be free.
That's Hunkery Town doing a Woody Guthrie tune, Pastures of Plenty, here on The Folk Show. When you had been gifted a bunch of folk albums to learn from for your friend who was passing away and wanted you to sing for her, what in that collection really stood out for you besides Woody Guthrie, perhaps? What really kind of captured your interest and helped to lead you down this folk path?
Well, the song that my friend wanted me to sing at her memorial was called Woman Blue, which is Judy Roderick's arrangement of the classic folk ballad, I Know You Rider. And that was the first I'd ever heard of Judy Roderick. And I played that album maybe nonstop. And it was partly a way of grieving for my friend listening to that album. And it was also just this revelation that there were so many amazing performers that were completely unknown, like outside the mainstream. And I think that that was kindling my interest almost as much as anything else.
Well, you should mention that Judy Roderick was from the early to mid-60s.
Right.
So, and so this was really a part of our folk history, but still almost entirely unknown, you know, and I think that was very important. I came from another angle. I was really into Peter, Paul, and Mary. I had a bunch of the records. When I was a child living in New York City, my mother and Mary Travers were friends because we lived in the same tenement on McDougal Street.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And this was obviously early 60s.
Sure.
And she was obviously getting some headway with her career. She ended up moving out. So unfortunately, I was still a baby. I never really got to have a serious talk with her during her lifetime, which I'm still mad about because I so love her.
How long did your family live on McDougal Street?
It was just my mother and I. Oh. She was a single mother, and so was Mary. And so they bonded on single parenting back in the early 60s. And that's
a brave time.
But I was always into Peter, Paul, and Mary. And I just I consider them a gateway act, because they are an act. And I think Pete Seeger is kind of a gateway performer, too, or he was. They had universal appeal, right? You could listen to them no matter what you were listening to previously, but when you started getting into them, you wanted to know where they were coming from. These are folk tunes. Well, that means somebody else did them. Well, what did those songs sound like?
And so then you start going back.
And then once again, you just start going backwards and backwards. And next thing you know, you're
listening to Doc Boggs.
Yeah, or you're in Penzance during the days of the pirates in Cornwall.
But also they invited you to sing.
Right.
So Pete was really great about inviting you to sing along.
Sure. That's right. Sure. He was really good at that. And it always, yeah. I think that was the other appeal about folk music to me. It just felt like something that you do sort of with your community. And we always feel like when we're doing a concert that we don't want there to be that much separation between us and the audience. We're all in it together. And so we do quite a few sing-alongs, actually, at our shows.
Whether they sing along or not.
Yes. We do encourage such things.
Yeah. You sent the invitation, whether they are SVP or not, it's up to them.
Exactly.
Right. That's right.
This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. It's a delight to have Hunkery Town in our studio. They're going to play another tune, and then we're going to come back and find out just a little bit more and also find out where you can find Hunkery Town in the near future.
Lately my hands don't seem to work the way I want them to, and I'd like to look up at the sky instead of down at my shoes. Can't seem to turn my mind to what each day might bring, 'cause I've fallen into disrepair like any forgotten thing. Clock upon the mantel has fallen out of time. I can't see why I should wind it Well, I'm so far behind, but I might replace the front door bell just to hear it ring. Oh, let the old one rust away like any forgotten thing. Some things here can still be fixed, for others it's too late. But I can't be sure of what to keep and what to throw away. It's like living in the space between the winter and the spring. One season of uncertainty for every forgotten thing.
What a great song. Did you write that one?
Yes.
Rebecca Hall wrote that tune. We're visiting in our studio with Hungry Town. And is that, which album is that on?
That is on our second album, which is called Any Forgotten Thing. That's okay. The title track.
I love your artwork. Who does that?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked about that.
On your albums, they're great.
Yeah, so
they're all different.
Yeah. But the Any Forgotten Thing album artwork was done by Julie Sola, who is an artist that lives in Nashville. And
she runs a company called Fat Crow Press.
Yes. And she does, for that album, she did all linoleum carvings. And it was really interesting. We recorded all the songs and sent them to her and said, you know, just come up with whatever image you think will work for the cover, because we really love her work. And she wrote back and said, oh, I'm excited about this project. I really love the songs. And would it be okay if I did some artwork for every single song on the record in the booklet? And so she just took that on. It was amazing. And so the booklet of the CD has all these great interpretations of each song. And most of them tell stories anyway, so it's kind of good.
She's also an artist for Hatch Showprint, which do all the artwork for, did the artwork for Johnny Cash and Elvis posters and Hank Williams posters.
Emmylou Harris.
Yeah, yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Do you hang out in Nashville very much?
We did for quite a while. We got to be friends with songwriter David Olney. Mm-hmm. When we went to our very first Folk Alliance, we met David Olney and just became instant friends, and were such huge fans of his music.
Did he write Deeper Well?
He did, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, just one of our favorite
songwriters. He also covered one of Rebecca's songs on one of his albums.
Well, isn't that great?
Yeah, that was a complete, like, is this really happening, pinch me moment.
Well, because we have so much respect. He's such a venerable
songwriter. Amazing songwriter.
Originally a New Englander from Rhode
Island.
That's
right, from Rhode Island, yeah.
Now, I know Ken was originally from McDougal Street in New York. And what about you, Rebecca? Where are your roots?
I was actually born in Boston and grew up in Boston, then moved to New York where I met Ken, and we got married. We've actually been married 25 years.
I said that.
Oh, did you say that already? Okay. And
it was worth repeating. It's a milestone, so it's definitely
A quarter century. Now we live in Vermont, so.
Well, thanks for coming here to New Hampshire Public Radio.
We're delighted.
You've got some shows that are coming up, and I know you've got one in Plymouth tomorrow, and then on the 15th, you're going to be over at the Franklin Opera House. What can people expect from that show on November 15th?
Well, they can expect very much the music that they're hearing tonight on this show. And
except they'll be able to see us, too.
They'll be able to see us, too, which, you know, I'm not sure how anybody feels about that.
Well, they get
that.
To see Rebecca. You know? I can turn around if they're. You know.
And yeah, and we'll be encouraging them to sing, and there'll be plenty of humor in between the songs as well.
And that's all Rebecca.
And probably we usually like to explain the process of you know, what led us to write certain songs. So a little bit of background and stories of our travels and whatever occurs to us at the moment.
If you're interested in getting tickets for that show, the website is franklinoperahouse.org, and showtime is at 7:30. And that is right here in Franklin, New Hampshire, the Franklin Opera House, November 15th.
Looking forward to that.
And if folks want to find out more about your calendar, they can visit your calendar. What's your website?
Our website is hungrytown.net.
Okay.
Or facebook.com/hungrytown.
Are you keeping track of all that stuff pretty well? Do you do the Instagram and Snapchat and all that other stuff too?
I do Instagram when I remember to do it, which is probably not as much as I should.
Are you tweeters?
Not really. We have some auto tweeting that goes on with shows and everything.
I've often been called a twit. It's the closest I get.
I think that's a different thing.
Yeah.
Oh, darn.
It's a different platform.
Yeah, it's a different platform.
Well, so you're doing a lot of this management stuff, like so many independent artists.
Oh, yes.
Are, right? Yeah.
Totally self-managed. Yeah.
Cottage industry.
Yes.
And what about writing? I mean, how do you have time to do any writing?
It's really difficult. And sometimes songs occur at inopportune times. So what we've learned to do is when I start getting a little melodic idea or some lyrics, I usually just will sing it into, you know, any kind of recording device, a phone or a camera or something. And then when I have time to get my guitar out later, can tease that out into a song.
Okay.
Or start with a musical riff.
Yeah. Sometimes Ken will be working on different riffs on guitar and I'll say, oh, I like that. I could put lyrics over it. So all different ways of approaching it.
Yeah, no two are alike.
Yeah.
When did you switch over from drums to guitar? Was that when you heard the albums from your friend, or what happened? And then had a banjo, or I don't.
Well, you know, in the interviews, it always sounds like things just happened all at once, but it was very gradual,
right?
You know, and Rebecca was still doing her lounge singing at the beginning, and I was still playing drums. But every once in a while, I would come up on stage when she, you know, Rebecca usually has some entourage of musicians around here because this was New York, and it's like, oh, look, somebody else,
musicians.
Another songwriter. Let's let's join. And then I would come up and play harmonica because I've been playing that since I was a kid. And I would maybe sing harmony. I've always loved singing harmony. And then just gradually, little by little, I just started insinuating myself a little bit more. On one occasion, Rebecca had a really good show at the Museum of Television and Radio on Fifth Avenue.
Hosted by Laura Cantrell.
Hosted by Laura Cantrell, you know, and it was kind of a big deal. It was a variety show, but it was early on, and it's like, oh, this is a great gig. And then we get a phone call from Rebecca's bass player, who's in California.
Stuck in L.A.
Well, with another band, because everybody's in multiple bands, and said, you know, I can't make the show, sorry. And so all of a sudden, guess who was recruited to play bass? So that was my introduction to bass. We were only doing like a 4 or 5 song set. They were like all three or four chord songs. Put your finger here, put your finger here, and try not to look like you're working too hard.
Right.
and I actually made it through most of the chords all right. And I thought, you know, I can and so you start to learn inductively by putting your finger here and then putting your finger here, and next thing you know, you're playing the bass or playing whatever.
And then next thing you know, you're buying a banjo. And
next thing you're buying a guitar, buying a banjo. And
Daddy sang bass, Mama sang tenor. Okay, so that's how it all kind of rolled out. Now, you've got to paint the picture for me, Rebecca, of the lounge singing.
Okay, so
is this like involve a piano and you're leaning on it? That kind of thing.
I don't know if I actually leaned on the piano. No, I did. I did sometimes have a guitarist and sometimes a piano player, depending on who I could get for the gig that night.
But she always looked like Astra Gilberto. She even did Girl from Ipanema. She did it gorgeously.
He's a little biased.
I am not.
But so I loved Nina Simone and Billie Holiday. And when I first moved to New York back in the late 80s, that's really the music that I wanted to sing. So I had several.
Hey, can you do your Satchmo?
Right now?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Come on.
I see fields of green.
There you go. Okay, I don't know. Well, you know who is also into the lounge singing piece is, or that gig is Susan Werner.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that's right.
She did that song, If I Could Sing, Cole Porter.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That was a beautiful album. Yeah.
You're in good company.
Yeah.
It's okay. You're listening to The Folk Show here at New Hampshire Public Radio. A short break, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more with Hungry Town.
Does your mystery machine leave you stranded at the worst possible times?
I think we're in trouble already. Look! Haunted Mansion?
If you're terrified by the thought of putting more money into your unreliable vehicle, why not donate it to NHPR and transform it into the programs you love, like Morning Edition and The Exchange, and podcasts like Patient Zero. We'll take care of the paperwork, and we'll even tow it away for free. Donate your vehicle today at nhpr.org/cardonation.
Support for NHPR comes from listeners like you and the New Hampshire Charitable Foundation, helping wealth managers, financial advisors, attorneys, and accountants to craft customized charitable giving strategies for their clients. NHCF.org. This is The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio, and our guests in the studio, Hungry Town, that's Ken Anderson and Rebecca Hall. And they have three albums out together, and also Rebecca has some albums out that you can find out more about by visiting their website, which is hungrytown.net. And some shows that we want to make sure that you know about. They've got a show in Franklin on the 15th. On the 16th, they'll be in Sharon, Mass. And then they'll be heading back to their Vermont area and performing in Norwich on the 22nd and Rutland, Vermont on the 23rd again. You can visit their calendar, and you can also visit our calendar at nhpr.org for a heads up on where you're going to find Hungry Town. Hungry Town, that's Rebecca and Ken. What about plans for a new CD? Are you going to be working on anything new?
Yeah, we have the concept for the album already, and we have the title track written. The name of the album is going to be Circus for Sale. And and I think the idea behind it sort of in general is, well, our Further West album was just sort of about a little bit about this idea of the American dream and what that means to people and how it's failed them and where, you know, that really feels like a lie in some people's lives. So this new album, Circus for Sale, you could look at it a little bit in terms of our political landscape, probably would be the first thing that leaps to mind. But also just this idea of anybody that's sort of struggling and feels kind of voiceless and where that and the direction that that's heading. So sort of providing some kind of voice for maybe a lot of people that don't really get to voice their concerns.
I know we had a request for a tune on our Facebook group, which is NHPR Folk. If you haven't checked us out there, I invite you to do that. But the tune that they had suggested, you guys are a little bit rusty on. You haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah, that's actually been out of our set for about 10 years. And I think the tune that they requested was Man of Poor Fortune, which I recorded on my first album back in 2000. And then we also recorded in our band The Strangelings that was with Peter Mora Kennedy and Chris Thompson, Cheryl Prashker, Eric Lee.
Didn't even talk about that.
Yeah, that's a whole other fun,
life.
Yeah, fun thing. So yeah, and we were thinking that that song "Man of Poor Fortune" really would fit also on "Circus for Sale." So we're working on a new version, and that's going to be on that album.
And what about touring? Are you planning to do any more trips abroad in the near future?
Yeah, well, next year we're going to do another at least 3-month tour in the UK. We're here in New England for the month of November, and then we're heading south beginning in December, and we're going to be gone until the beginning of March.
I know you've had hardly any sleep. You guys have been traveling so much and been hanging out in that tin can in the sky quite a bit. So I really do appreciate you folks taking the time to stop here before you have your show over in Franklin on the 15th, and that's at the Opera House. Visit our calendar if you want to find out more details about that 7:30 show with Hungrytown. Can you leave us with one more?
Absolutely.
The music of the carousel echoes a sweet refrain. Of fairground scenes from days gone by, and how we used to play. My horse is faded silver, yours is white and gold. Swiftly around the track we go, and where we'll stop, who's to know? You're always half a length ahead, no matter how well I ride. And the further I stretch to grasp the ring, the more I start to slide. Play on, Calliope, I hear you winding low. Our ride is only just begun, we've still got so far to go.
Be on the lookout for Hungrytown's expected release called Circus for Sale, and check out their show at the Franklin Opera House on Friday, November 15th. You're listening to The Folk Show here at New Hampshire Public Radio. Thank you so much, Hungrytown, for stopping in.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kate.
Thanks so much for having
us. It's been a pleasure.
Next week on the program, we're going to have a visit with Emma's Revolution here at NHPR.
NHPR is speaking with the candidates.
Resonate well, either in the Middle East or anywhere else where
if Congress does not hold this man accountable, then he will break.
What does it mean for American society that we're moving toward an oligarchy?
And speaking with voters.
I do not think this issue is going to be the thing that makes Republicans go.
For me, I just try to find someone who doesn't look like they're BSing the whole thing.
Stay tuned to NHPR for complete coverage of New Hampshire's 2020 primary at nhpr.org/primary2020.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and Colonial Theater in Keene presenting Postmodern Jukebox November 15th, Anita Franco November 16th, and Hot Tuna December 6th. Tickets at thecolonial.org. This is The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.